Okay, unlike last week, this week's topic is not too much in the Mineu Bay of the Parsha. It's more of a Klolius Tika Inyan. And we all know that in the end of Parsha's Lech Lecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the mitzvah of Mila through Avraham Avinu. And the Achronim are bothered by a basic question. Panim Yafos discussed this. Beis Halevi discusses this problem. It's a problem that intrigues many Achronim. And that is, according to the Gemara that tells us that Avraham Avinu kept all mitzvos, why is it that Avraham Avinu waited till he was 99 to do the mitzvah of Mila? Avraham Avinu was mekayim every single mitzvah in the Torah. Why did he wait? So Panim Yafos, and Rav Asher Weiss has a nice arichus in this, in his Minchas Asher, suggests the following teretz. And I'd like to examine the teretz and see the implications of it for us. Lahalacha, and then see what else it will teach us in terms of machshava. He says that the Gemara on Daf Tzadi Aleph in Bava Kama, Tzadi Aleph on the Beis, has a discussion whether there's a prohibition for a person to injure himself. And the maskana of the Gemara is that one is not allowed to injure oneself. There's an isser to be chovel ba'atzmecha. In fact, for our purposes, the Gemara suggests two different makoros of why there is a prohibition to injure oneself. Number one, the Gemara says that if we take the psukim of last week's parsha literally, va'aches tim edrosh, the prohibition of the pasuk seems to be motzi dam from your nefesh. So the Gemara suggests it could very well be that the prohibition to be chol v'atzmucha comes from the pasuk in Parshas Noach. Ultimately, the Gemara concludes with a different reason. The Gemara challenges that and says maybe that's only talking about Misa, it's not talking about Chavala. And ultimately, the Gemara says that the Makar is a fascinating Makar. It comes from the famous Rabbi Elazar HaKfar that said that the reason why a Nazir has to bring a karban, the chiper alav me'asher chata al nefesh, what type of avera he did? Did he do? Elishetzir atzmo min ayayin, that he violated HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon by paining himself by not partaking in wine. Valod varm kal v'chomer. And so Kal v'chomer concludes the Gemara. Umazesh lo tzir atzmo elan v'yayin nikrechote, hamitzar atzmo mikol dover alachas kama v'kama. Certainly someone who physically injures himself, that would certainly qualify as a prohibition of Chavolah. Now the Rambam, the sources in the Gemara are very strange. Both the source, v'achas nimcha v'nafsho sechem edrosh, began the maskanas ha-gemara to make the kal v'chomer from the halacha of a nazir, that a nazir brings the carbon, the makar is strange, but in terms of halacha l'maisa, the codification is very, very clear, very explicit. The Rambam in Hilchas Chovel Mazik, in Perek Hei Halacha Aleph, formulates it in by equating it to the Yisr of Lo Yosef Lahakos. Just like there's a prohibition for Reuven to hit Shimon, so too there's a prohibition for Reuven to hit himself. Here's a Lashon HaRambam, which we will come back to. Asur la'adam lachvol bein ba'atzmo bein b'chaveira. Just like it's prohibited for Reuven to hit Shimon, it's also prohibited for Reuven to hit himself. So this might be a rationale of why Avraham Avinu wasn't able to do the Mila. Because when it comes to all of the mitzvahs, you have nothing to lose. However, if we're talking about something that a person wasn't mitzvah in, and fundamentally, it's chavallah, so he can't do it until HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him that he has to do it. Everything else, you have nothing to lose. However, when it comes to Mila, if Mila qualifies as full-fledged Chavala, so in such a case, Avraham Avinu had to wait. The Chassam Sofer uses this idea in a different context. The Chassam Sofer connects it to the famous machlokas between the Rambam and Tur that many people like to discuss around Hanukkah time, and that is the Gemara in Shabbos says that if you cut off the primary parts of Mila, the tzitzin hama'akvin, but you forgot to cut off the tzitzin she'enin ma'akvin, the halacha is you don't go back. So the Torah says that's talking about on Shabbos because it's a chashtul Shabbos. The Rambam says you don't go back, period. So the famous explanation that everybody likes to discuss that the Brisker Rav put together with Hanukkah is that machlokus revolves around what's the relationship between the Hiddur Mitzvah and the Maaseh Mitzvah. That's not our subject for tonight. But Chassam Sofer gives a different pshat. Before this famous raid, there was the Chassam Sofer's pshat. And that is, the Chassam Sofer suggests a very nice pshat. He says, the Rambam says that you can't go back, because once you did the mitzvah, cutting the bris is ma'anish chavala. And chavala is not nidche by the mitzvah of Zekei Levan Vehu. It sits in Shein Ma'akrin, is only Zekei Levan Vehu. You can't go back in terms of chavala. The question is whether this approach is correct. Does everybody agree that when an individual is cut for a toeles, notice, both in the case of Avram Avinu, there's a toeles. It's clearly Avram's desire to come to fulfill all the mitzvahs, even if he's not the b'chinas mitzvah. Or in the case of the Chassam Sofer in the Gemara and Shabbos on Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, there's a toeles to be mekayim zekei levan vehu. There's a real toeles. Is there an iser? So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a fascinating tshuva, halacha l'maisa mamish, where Rav Moshe Feinstein discusses plastic surgery. He says, is plastic surgery part of the prohibition both for the doctor and for the patient, him or herself, of lo yosef lahakos? At the end of the day, there's a wound that's being created. Now, we'll come back. Maybe we could say, well, there's a wound that's being done, but what's coming out is even better. The nose is looking even better now, so then maybe it doesn't even qualify as a chabura. So let's leave that for a moment. Rav Moshe really doesn't go in that direction. Rav Moshe has another heter. L'niyaz daiti, based on Rav Moshe's heterim, the above mahalchum of the Chassam Sofer and the Panim Yafos seem to fall away. One could argue that they fall away. And I saw that Rav Weiss in the Minchas Asher says a similar type of idea. Listen to the Lashon Rambam. The Rambam is, his formulation is so clear. Also, l'adam lachvol bein batzvol bein mechavero, v'lo hachol v'lo belvada, kol hamaka kol adam kosher mi Yisrael bein kotam bein gadol, bein ish bein isha, derech nitzayon, hareze over b'lo saseh. So Rav Moshe is medayik that the Lashon Rambam is that the Isser is Derech Nitzayon. How would we describe Derech Nitzayon? Derech Nitzayon sounds like in the process of conflict, aggression, an aggressive piece of behavior. Says Rav Moshe, if that's how we're going to understand the Rambam, the prohibition is only Derech Nitzayon. If it's not Derech Nitzayon, the person is doing it not because the patient was mochel, we'll discuss mechila shortly, but simply it's not derech nitzayon, it's not a violent act, so then in such a case, Rav Moshe claims that it should be mutter. L'chura. I saw that the Minchas Asher has a similar idea as well. This seems to be in contrast to the idea that we've seen above. The Panim Yafo says that there's Isser of Chavali, even if it's not Derech Mitzayon. The person is doing it, he's getting a tremendous Hisalus from it. It's not Derech Mitzayon to the Mila. Giving a child, making sure that the child has the Tzitz and Shein and Ma'akfin, that's not Derech Mitzayon. However, Rav Moshe says, if you look in the Rambam, that's what seems to emerge from the Rambam. So Rav Moshe uses this heter. But l'chura, one would wonder what the Chassam Sofer would say about such a heter. Yeah. Rav Moshe seems to come out of Kula. Other poskim are machmir. Yes, Rav Yishu.
So where is the Rav Moshe?
Oh, thank you, stop me. In Yerideya, Chelek Bey, Simin Samachvoth. I just found that Reb Chaim understood the Rambam differently. Reb Chaim in the stencils, in the midst of a different discussion, Reb Chaim's actually choker in what the Rambam means when the Rambam says Derech Nitzayon. Reb Chaim says, does the Rambam mean to say that if it's not Derech Nitzayon, it's not a Hakah at all? Or does the Rambam mean to say that it's not considered an Isur in a case in which that the Torah allows it? What is an example of that? A Rav the Talmidol v'Avu B'no. So Reb Chaim claims that when the Rambam says Derech Nitzayon, I know the two Tzadim I didn't flesh out entirely, because they're not directly shaykh to what we're trying to bring out now. So let's just focus on the conclusion that he makes. Reb Chaim says that the Lashon of Derech Nitzayon doesn't mean to say that the only Isser is in conflict, but rather it's to emphasize that there's a certain instance that's not considered Derech Nitzayon. What's that instance? That's if a Rebbe unintentionally hits the Talmud and injures him. God forbid, if it's an abusive Rebbe, then he should be thrown into jail and the key should be thrown away. And the same, of course, for a father, whose people are mamish rodfim. Unfortunately, such people exist. But if it's a Rebbe that does it unintentionally, that in such a case, a Rebbe is allowed to hit the students. When I was a child, the Rebbeim were still hitting the Talmidim. I once got hit. I once got hit. Actually, he was a friend of my grandfather. The Rebbe was a friend of my grandfather. And what happened was, the Rebbe said, asked everybody to be quiet. He said, everyone quiet. And I was walking up to the pencil sharpener, and under my breath, I was an okay kid, but I'm not sure what shtus got into me. I said, under my breath, I said something like, oh. And the next, mamish defiant, the next thing I knew is I didn't know where I was. He had hit me so hard, and mamish took me about 5 seconds to really process what, and it only started hurting about a minute later. I was hit so hard. He mamish slammed me across the face. Full, and he was a big man. I must have almost fallen to the ground. And you know, Rabosai, I'm thankful to him. I'm not advocating this. I'm not sure I want a Rebbe. I myself want my children to have a Rebbe that hits today. But I myself have a lot of Akaris HaTov too. I think he's passed on. I have a lot of Akaris HaTov. So if a Rebbe hits the Talmud a little too hard, so then in such a case, he's not over the Isser because he was supposed to hit the child. Yes, the Rebbe is supposed to hit the Talmud. Bisman Hazeh, of course, I'm not going to get involved at all. There's a lot of room to say that lo plug, for the reason that I had alluded to above. So according to Reb Chaim, then there's no Raya in the Ram. According to Reb Chaim, the Mahalach of the Chsam Sofer, and the Panim Yafo still stands, and that is that any type of wound that is done, either one inflicts on oneself or one inflicts on another, so then in such a case it's going to be usher. Those who don't understand the Rambam the way we just read from Reb Chaim will have a lot of difficulty with a Gemara in Sanhedrin on Pei Daled Amud Beis. The Gemara in Sanhedrin describes a case of a father that needs to have a splinter removed from his finger. The Gemara says, Rav lo shavik lebrei. Rav didn't let his son take out the splinter. He didn't allow him to take out the splinter. He had someone else. Why? Because taking out the splinter is not inherently aser. But what happens if the son messes up? What happens if the son makes a chabura? So he wanted to prevent his son from shigas chenek. Asks the Gemara, but how could someone else do it? Someone else might mess up and b'shogeg be over the isra of chabura. How do we take out splinters? So the Gemara says, a regular person, it's not so bad. It's only shigas lav. So the pashtus of the Gemara is that, what's the story with chabura? even if your intention is not at all derech nitzayon, not at all, but if it's not under the rubric of irapo yirape, as soon as it's considered, it's a chabura, even if it's not derech nitzayon, is asur. That's the mashmos from the Gemara and Sanhedrin, pei dalid on the base. Rav Moshe suggests, well, this type of makkah is a makkah that's normally associated with nitzayon, a wound on the finger, and then he tries to reread the Gemara. But I have to tell you, the pashtus of the Gemara in Sanhedrin seems to be that there is an isra of chavala across the board, and then one has to go back to a plastic surgery case and say, wait a second, is it going to be mutter? Maybe the diuk in the Rambam is like the way Rav Chaim had learned, and not the way Rav Moshe learns in the tshuva. There's something else that emerges from this Gemara, a topic I think we've alluded to in the Shi'urim before. That is fine. There's an Isser Lachvo Ba'atzmo U'Ba'achirim. Can I be Mocha? Can Ruvein say to Shimon, I think we've mentioned in the past that once upon a time it was the Jews who were the inner city immigrants, and they were the boxers. They were the boxers. Jews, if you look in the 10s and 20s, there were a lot of Jewish champions in the ring. Shaila is, could an observant Jew be a boxer? What's the issue? Well, you're not allowed to be chovel ba'atzmacha. Are you allowed to put yourself in a situation where you're going to be injured? And you're causing someone else be over the isser of chaval. Let's say it's two Jews that are boxing in the ring. Does mechila work? The chura from the Gemara in Sanhedrin seems to indicate that even mechila doesn't work. In other words, two chumras emerge from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Number one is that even if it's not derech nitzayon, it seems to be asur. And Rav didn't allow his son, and he said someone else, if they would be chovel him, would be over the isur. Now, presumably, before they try to take out the splinter, let him just say, will you be mochel me if I miss and I cause a wound? That's not entertained in the Gemara. L'chura, from our Gemara, it seems that it will be asr, even if it will be done with mechila. The Minchas Chinuch, on the Isser of Makkah Aviv, tries to reread the Gemara. The Minchas Chinuch says that davar pashut of mechila would work. He says mechila does work. If you could be mochel somebody on money, you could be mochel him also for the Yisr. At the end of the day, the Mishnah even says that you could be mochel to pay back on Nezikin. So why is it that you can't be mochel over here? Of course you could be mochel, says the Minchas Chinuch. The Gemara, the Minchas Chinuch, is matchik, was talking about a case where there's no rishus. Doesn't fit so easily into the words. The Minchas Chinuch is convinced that mechila would work. However, so now in our case, when it comes to issues of plastic surgery, maybe that's a new heter. And that is that the patient would sign a waiver, not a waiver that they're not going to sue, but you would add in the waiver also that they're mochel. So in the case of they're mochel, so then there isn't the problem of chavala. So even if you're not going to have the heter that's not derech nitzayon, but at the end of the day, maybe have mechila operative. However, Rav Zevin, in a fascinating essay that we've quoted in the past, discusses the novel The Merchant of Venice, the great and awful work by Shakespeare. Of course, there is an anti-Semitic caricature, Shylock, who's a Jewish moneylender, and Shylock makes a deal with Antonius, the handsome Anglo-Saxon, the hero of the play, and the deal is that Shylock lends him money, and he charges an exorbitant interest, and he tells him if you're not going to pay back, he's going to take a pound of his flesh. So Rav Zevin, who is a unique Talmud Chacham, has a fascinating sefer called the Or Halacha. It's a fascinating sefer, a beautiful sefer. So in the sefer, Rav Zevin raises this issue. He calls the essay Mishpat Shylock, and he says the whole work is anti-Semitic mitchila v'atzof. It doesn't even fit according to halacha. Forget about the fact that Shakespeare never saw a Jew in his life. Jews who had been ex- had been expelled from England in the 13th century. One of our largest expulsions was actually from England. I think we were expelled from England longer than we were expelled from Spain. But Shakespeare probably had never seen a Jew. So, but he says, but aside from that, he says, but la halacha, it's also wrong. That why? Because a person, Antonius, has no right to be mochel. And therefore, it's usher for Shylock Ki'ilu to take a pound of flesh, even if Antonius would sign an agreement that he's mochel. So, lahavdil, elf alfe avdolo, is the same thing over here. According to Rav Zevin, you wouldn't be able to be mochel, and he takes on the minchas chinuch. He says that the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, Rav Zevin was a chassid of Chabad, he says that the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says beferish, that it's usur for a person to be chovel himself. For what's the reason? Because, here the Baal Tanya threw in a little bit of chassidus in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, he says, because the guf doesn't belong to you. Ha-nishom aloch va-guf polach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the guf, and therefore a person will not be able to be mocha. Rav Zevin with this gives us a lot of mussar, without even saying the mussar, and that is we have to internalize how much of our mindset, of the way we look at our bodies, the way we look at ourselves, how much of that is based on the liberal Western perspective. I myself believe in trying to unify the values of Torah with some of the good values of Western society. However, there are some values in Western society that fly directly in the face of Hashkafas HaTorah. And this is one of the examples. At the end of the day, one of the basic democratic and liberal notions is the idea that a person has the freedom to do what he wants with himself. To the point that it's almost logical to say, for a woman to say, this is my body, and I can do what I want with it. And if there's a little tiny fetus that's growing inside, I could get rid of it. It's my body, I could do what I want. Once the body comes out, so then the public has to protect it. But until then, it's my body, I could do what I want with it. And it reflects itself in so many different ways. Ultimately, it becomes a hedonistic perspective where society, Hashem Yirachim, it should not come to this work, but society could almost eat itself up in its hedonism, in its self-absorption. But Torah has a totally different perspective. Torah's perspective is, it's not our body. It's on loan. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. He created us from a little bit of dirt that He created. Adam Yisodam Eofar, Yisofo La'ofar. It's not our bodies. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. If we look at that, we look in the mirror, we see a different thing. And ultimately, that is a fundamental clash between, if you will, the civilization of Torah and Western civilization today. And that's one of those things where the square can't be turned into a circle, and the circle can't be turned into a square. They're two different hashkafas olam. We have to accept that as a real conflict, an intellectual conflict, and with confidence to proceed forward in what we believe is correct. So that's Rav Zevin's yisod. Rav Zevin disagrees with the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch said that you could be mochel. He says no. The Baal HaTanya already said in the Sefer Shulchan Aruch HaRav that the reason why there's an issue to be chol v'atzmecha is because you can't decide what you want to do with your body. If that's so, then it's mistaber that you can't be mochel for someone else, for them to be for hakah. And Rav Zevin finishes off with a geshmak alumnus. Debatable lambdas. There's a lot of literature about this difficult Rambam. All the great Talmidim of Reb Chaim, based on a few cryptic sayings of Reb Chaim, I believe that they were inspired from a couple of things that Reb Chaim had said. But either way, there's a lot of ink that's spilled on this Rambam. That Rav Zevin, based on his Hashkafic Yisod, uses also in lambdas to answer the Rambam. The Rambam paskins in Hilchas Chovel Mazik Perek Halacha Vav that if a person is mode bechavala, let me read you Lashon Rambam. If Reuven is mode that he was Cholo Shimon, the halacha is Avolim Lo Yisham Edim Klal. There weren't Edim at all. Hu Amar Chavaltabi, Vahoda Me'atzmo Potter min ha-nezek u-min ha-tsar. The Rambam makes a split. He says that you're potter from nezek and tsar, v'chayiv b'sheves u-boshes u-beripuin. You're chayiv b'ripuin, sheves and boshes. The question is, why are you potter from nezek? So there's a lot of theories out there. Rav Zevin introduces a fascinating theory. He suggests the following. If our Yesod is correct, when Reuven attacks Shimon, is it the same way he attacks Shimon when he takes his object and he destroys it? Shimon really owns the object that he has in his hand. Hashamayim Shamayim Hashem Ba'aretz Nasan L'bnei Adam. He owns it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him Bailus. But in a fascinating way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Bailus over the money in our pockets. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give us Bailus over our book. If that's so, normally why is it that when you're Moda, you're Chayiv? The question is, I need to let me flesh out what the difficulty is. Why is that Moda Benezek is Potter? If you're Moda in the regular fee of Mammon, you're Chayiv. Reuven says to Shimon, I'm Moda that I stole something from you. He's Chayiv to pay back the principal. So too over here, you should be Moda Benezek. Therefore, you should be Chayiv. He's Moda that there's a Chi of Mammon. Nezek is a Chi of Mammon. You evaluate how much the arm is worth on the marketplace. Rav Zevin says, but that's only if you look at the chiyuv of Tashlumin from the perspective of Reuven being Moda, that what he has or what he did to Shimon was taking away a certain bailus from him. So through his hodas baldin, he creates a chiyuv to Shimon. But if ultimately, really Shimon's not the bailus at all over his guf. Rather, how come Reuven is chayv to pay? Well, he goes into Beis Din. And Beis Din says you were over in Issun. And the Torah gave us, if you will, a knas that says that you have to pay back the nezek. That you have to pay back the nezek. But this knas is not even a regular type of knas, because the Rambam doesn't call it knas either. I can't get involved with all the details in the Rambam. It's not simply because it's knas, and mode of a knas is potter. No. The chiyuv of tashlumin is not that you're paying back to Shimon something that he owed. Rather, Beis Din comes along, says that you did an iser, and now you have to pay him. But Hodas Baal Din is not going to take effect. Hodas Baal Din could only be if I concede something belongs to Shimon. Over here, I'm not conceding that it belongs to him. Is this a chiddush in how Hodas Baal Din works? Possibly. It might be a chiddush in how Hodas Baal Din works. It's a chiddush in terms of how you look at Nezek. But Rav Zevin finishes with this Geshmak of flurry in being Miyashev, the Rambam. That aside, so let's come back and put things in perspective again. If we say that the Isra of Chavala is only Derech Nitzayon, in such a case plastic surgery would be mutter. If we say that you could be Mochel, even if you hold Derech Nitzayon is, if it's not Derech Nitzayon, it's still Aser. But if you could be Mochel, it will also work. However, Rav Zevin argues that you can't be mochel, and it could be that all types of chaval are aser. Why? Because the iser is not nitzayon, but rather the iser is the undermining of the guf that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has entrusted to the individual. I have one basic problem and one slight raya for the Minchas Chinuch about Mechila. One difficulty with Rav Zevin's Mahalach. The Gemara describes that, I leave this off as a Tzarech Yun. Gemara describes that Rav Chisda, there in Perek Achovel, describes that Rav Chisda walked to through a road, and in the road there was thorn bushes were blocking his way. Rav Chisda lifted up his frock. In those days, they didn't wear pants under the frock. That was the whole cloak. He lifted it up to protect the beged, and his legs were cut. His legs were cut. Igmar seems to say that that's mutter. The question is, why is that mutter? If you say a person could be mochel, and say, it's okay, this doesn't bother me, so then I can understand. If you could be mochel, then maybe you could be mochel on plastic surgery. If you could be mochel, so then Avraham Avinu could also have been mochel for the milah. So how do you explain Rav Chisda? So the only way that I could explain Rav Chisda according to Rav Zevin is the following way. And I just, the Lashon Ulai, I suggested to Talmidim HaYikarim. That is, maybe something that's so insignificant, like thorns, rubbing against a skin and creating a small gash, in such a case isn't even called a chabura at all. In other words, you have to look at chabura in a broader context. Simply, the flesh being cut and blood coming out doesn't necessarily qualify as chabura. Now, as I'm speaking it out, it dawned upon me, I think the Shita Mekubetzis might say this there. As we're talking together, I think the Shita Mekubetzis might make such a yisod. If you say that, so then you have to reevaluate all types of chaburas. Maybe even plastic surgery, you could also use that. If our yisod is correct, so maybe you could use that in regards to plastic surgery as well. It's true that they're cutting, but they're cutting just to move the tissue around to be able to make it even better. So just like when it comes to refuah, for sure it's mutter. So over here, it's not even called refuah. In other words, there's certain contexts that are no longer considered, chabura. So this would be the way to defend according to Rav Zevin. And based on that, that becomes a new shlav in terms of asking the question as far as plastic surgery. Okay, I see there's a couple questions. What's your name? Sorry.
Yaakov,
yeah.
The splinter would be worse than cutting the leg?
No. So the answer to the splinter is the following. The splinter there, the chshash is, the answer is that the splinter goes in quite deep. And yes, the fear is not that he's going to pull out the splinter, but he's going to mess up, and he's going to make a chaval over there. It could very well be that the Gemara is talking about in those days, when they used to deal a lot with wood, some splinters eventually also, when they resulted in infections and so on, that could be something that's much more severe than Rav Chisda walking along. Yes, Daniel.
The Gemara by Rav Chisda described the reason why he picked up the beged was because the beged is not going to grow back, but his leg is
going to grow, back.
So couldn't you say that the reason why is because as long as the chabal is guaranteed to grow back, it's okay. The only time it's not okay is if
beautiful. Rav Dani is suggesting a different malach. He's saying our Taichin Rav Chisda is correct. You're agreeing with what we had said in Rav Chisda. And that's a good defense of Rav Zevin. However, I'm saying it in a different way than you just said it right now. However, that's going to be different than the case of plastic surgery. What's the difference between the two? Rav Chisda, it's not even considered a chavala because the flesh is going to grow back, the wound is going to disappear. Yesh Ladun, if you could say the same thing about a cut that's being made for plastic surgery, of course it's going to disappear. But in the end, it's not a cut that heals on its own. If the doctor would stop right there, the patient would bleed to death. So in such a case, that could be worse. I accept what Rav Dani is saying, that case where the flesh will grow back, that's going to be different. I have one basic problem with the teretz of the Panim Yafos. Again, let's come back to where we started from. How could Avram, why did Avram Avinu wait till age 99? At the end of the day, he should have been Moel himself. So the conventional answer is, and the answer has really stood up against a lot of the scrutiny that we've just given now, gone through now, it seems to be a good answer. At the end of the day, you can't be Mochel on your own guf. At the end of the day, the Yisur is not only Derech Nitzayon. Rav Dani added that it could be that it has to be that the only time it's mutter is if the wound grows back. So for all those reasons, Avram can't do the Mila for himself. That's the Teretz of the Panim Yafos. The only thing is, I want to be Ma'orer, is that the Gemara it's not so clear from the Gemara that there's an Yisur for a Ben Noach to do Chavala. We all know that there's an Isser for a Ben Noach to kill. But Chavalah is not so clear. So I'm not sure if the Panim Yafos' question really his Mahalach really works. Because if you remember, we started out with the Gemara with two different Makoros. One was from Bnei Noach, and then was from Rabbi Eliezer, who learned from a Nazir. So if you're learning from Rabbi Eliezer, you're not learning from Bnei Noach, maybe there's an Isser for Bnei Noach altogether. So maybe the whole Mahalach was built on those who had learned from Vachas, Damcham, Nafshe, Seichem, Edrosh, but we're not going within that Shita. We seem to go with a different Shita. So if that's so, I'm not sure if that answers the question. So that takes me Now, to the next mahalach that I'd like to present. Ad kan hasugya ba'odam shechaval ba'atzma. I'll take the questions on the sugya. And now, in the next couple of minutes, I'd like to give another simple, straightforward teretz and develop, I think, just a basic yisod that we have to ask ourselves in our own cheshbon ha'nefesh that relates to this. Yeah, there's a hand. Yeah.
I mean, the whole mahalach is assuming that Adam was going beyond and so it's Noach to be Mila also. So why couldn't you also go from Nazir? Do you want it to be Mila?
No, because the whole problem is if there's already an Isra on the books. If there's already an Isra on the books, so then you need a Tzivui, a direct Tzivui to come along and be okay. But if there's no Isur, so then it's exactly like doing Erev Tavshila.
He would have done any mitzvah say which he wasn't chayav, which he didn't only. He would only do them if he wasn't making the ogre on something.
Exactly.
He would be ogre on something that was future to be.
Yeah, right. Where this is the assumption. Right, correct.
He does essays like a Jew, but not most essays like one.
Aha, I hear what you're asking. You're saying that at the end of the day, there's an Isur for him as a Yisrael, right?
Yeah, so he's doing Mila like...
But the whole Teretz is assuming that there was an Isur of Chavalah before all the mitzvahs. That's what the Teretz is assuming. Or we'll be mefalpel about that afterwards. I understand where you're driving at, but I think once you have the Isur as a Ben Noach, then your wheels can't get moving.
But if you don't, then
it's simple. Then it's Asseh Gochel Osaseh. Then the HaKadosh Baruch was Mitzavi for the mitzvah of Mila. Yes, Avitza.
We take Rav Zevin's approach.
Right.
You're not a Bible man, you're good. So you need some form of Geza, which Ben Noach is in Tzuba.
Okay. It's a little bit drushy, though.
Yeah.
I think Rav Zevin would say that he's working within the framework of the postman. He tries to plug it back into the sugyas and so on. He takes his idea. He doesn't believe that what he's saying is a machshava and saying this is a cute answer in halacha. Rav Zevin believes that what he's saying is so gadol ad kidei kach, that there was a big pilpul back and forth between Rav Zevin and other gedolei Torah on this topic. There's been this has spurned the whole literature by itself. There's another teretz I think is very, very simple and very beautiful to this question, why Avraham Avinu didn't do Mila beforehand. And that's a teretz that's given by the Sri Dei Eish in his Shailas Utshuvas. Very, very simple yisod. Sri Dei Eish says that it's true, Avraham Avinu could be Mekayim all mitzvahs. But Mila is not just simply a Maisa mitzvah, it's a bris. It's a covenant between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael. On a very simple level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, I'm saying this in my own words, in my own crude way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to do something crazy that doesn't make any sense, and that ultimately it's a reflection of our Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That not everything that we do simply makes sense, but we do it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us. Mila doesn't make sense. Reb Banshpigel used to emphasize this idea that the base. I think he was inspired by Beis Halevi. Beis Halevi has a long arichus in this week's parasha about Mila being the ultimate expression of Emunah. So, but it's an Emunah of a bris, a covenant between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a covenant between a man and a fellow man, or as we'll get to later on, between man and wife. In such a case, for the covenant to exist, for the act of Emunah to exist, it needs a tzivui. It needs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the commandment. So Sri Dei Eish says that in order for Avraham Avinu to be Mekayim, the essence of what bris is about, it needs a tzivui. Erev Tavshilin has a ruach to itself. Hilchos Shabbos has a ruach to itself. Something crazy, quote unquote, like bris, requires the tzivui. Without the tzivui, it's ridiculous. Without the tzivui, it's a piece of cultish behavior. This brought to mind, this yisod, the Sri Dei Eish, brought to mind a beautiful yisod that Rav Nevin Saul brings out in his Sichos. Take a look here in Parshas Lech Lecha. Nevin Saul points out something that's very basic. It could be we know it intellectually, but the implication of it sometimes eludes us. How long did it take HaKadosh to Avraham Avinu to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's required reading. I told the Talmidim, one of the top 10 Rambams, one of the most important, sometimes you have to talk like this, that one of the 10 most important Rambams that exist in the Yad HaChazakah is the Rambam's Hakama to Hilchos Avodas Kochavim. Just to understand how Avodah Zarah evolved. So the Rambam is beautifully poetic, and he also explains how it could be that man could begin to serve idols. To summarize the Rambam very briefly, original man, of course, believed in God. They noticed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world was beautiful, plentiful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given different tafkidim to different parts of the universe. And they said, wow, let's honor HaKadosh Baruch Hu and honor his officers. And give kavod also to the sun and the moon and the stars. Eventually, what happened is they gave so much kavod to the sun and the moon and the stars that they forgot that Hashem Yirachem, that there's a Bore Olam. And then, in describing that, in Hilchos Avodas Kochavim, then the Rambam says, Val derech zeh hayo ha'olam holechu miskalgel. And that's how the world rolled along. When people have certain assumptions, the world just rolls along with those assumptions. Ad shenolad amudo shel olam v'hu Avraham Avinu. Until the pillar of the world, the fascinating metaphor over here. The Rambam is talking about the pillar, the other pillars of the world, of the universe. Until the amudo shel olam was born Avraham Avinu. Kivon shenigmal esan zeh. When this young sapling, Avraham Avinu, had been weaned, hischol l'shotet b'dayto. Fukotan. He was a little kid. V'hischil achshov bayomu b'layla. V'yetami, and he wondered. And the Rambam describes the wonders of Avraham Avinu. Of course, we know, and in many ways, the Midrashim that we were taught as kids are so vivid that they don't portray the beautiful picture that the Rambam is portraying. For example, you know, they have this very powerful Midrash that Avraham Avinu's was going through a process of questioning his father, so he broke all the Avodah Zarah in his father's house, and then he put the hammer by the biggest one. His father came home and said, "What happened?" He said, "What do you mean? The biggest and the strongest broke all of them." So that's a very, very powerful image. It's a confident Avraham Avinu. He, as a little kid, he knows what's right, he knows what's wrong, and he corrects the mistakes of the world. As we're going to see in a moment, that's not exactly the process of Avraham Avinu's Hikur Borot, as Rav Nemitz elaborated. In fact, the Rambam's Lashon is, how does the Rambam describe it? Uven arboim shana hikar Avraham es boro. Avraham Avinu started at age 3 asking these questions, but he only recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu at age 40. And then, it takes another 59 years before he enters in the Bris Milah. So Rav Nemitzal pointed out, we see from here, that Avram's Tahalich in Hakaras Boro took a very, very subtle and slow route. Rav Nemitzal has a fascinating mashal that all of us as B'nai Yeshiva could relate to. He says in elementary school, when we're taught about the Rambam, we're taught, Roberto Wine has a beautiful movie about the Rambam. That the Rambam is a doctor, the Rambam is a statesman, the Rambam is a Talmud Chacham, all those things. And we see a great figure, a great Jewish figure. And then we go to Yeshiva Ketana, and then we see that the Rambam is not only a great Jewish leader. We begin to see how the Rambam is makif everything. And then we sit and we really begin to be lon ba'omko shel Torah, and we see the Rambam in a totally different light. We see that the depths of the Rambam, not only the way we saw him once, that the Rambam was makif kol haTorah kula, but every word is so meduyak. Rav Nemitzal argues that our third perception of the Rambam is much, much greater. The gap between our second and third perception is much, much greater than the first and second. The more we understand and we see the greatness of the Rambam, now, I'm going to spoil it more and more every year. It's that that gap is greater than the original gaps were. The more and more we spend time thinking about what the Rambam was makif in Kol HaTorah Torah Kula. Lahavdil Elif Alfei Avdolos. Same thing with Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, it's a process. It's a process of understanding the depth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why Avraham Avinu only enters into the bris when he's 99 years old. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was only mitzaving them because Avraham Avinu is only ready for the bechina of bris when he's 99. Before then, he wasn't ready. Hikar is Boro, but the yachas of bris, that only takes place when he's at the age of 99. The Beis Halevi points out that the Lashon of the Pasuk, he uses this in a different direction, but the Lashon of the Pasuk, Eshalech lefanai ve'yesomim, Pasuk then says, Ve'etna brisi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, go in front of me, you'll be complete. And then it says, Ve'etna brisi. So I'd like to explain the Pasuk in the following way. Eshalech lefanai ve'yesomim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu describing Avraham Avinu from the period of 40 to 99. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is describing Avraham Avinu being tamim. Ve'etna brisi, but the Madrega of bris, where there is a covenant, which we need to elaborate on the significance of that more, that is only something that takes place at a madrega that's much greater. A madrega that's much, much greater. What's this covenant? What is this bris? What's the significance of it for us? It's very, very, in very simple terms, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's yachas with Avraham Avinu only reaches its personal depth when Avraham Avinu is 99 years old. That's when it begins to start moving in terms of a personal relationship. Rav Nevensal's point is, by the way, this answers the question, of course, of why is it that Avraham waited until he's 99? He wasn't ready beforehand. Then I saw Rav Nevensal Taka says, he says this answer. He says that answers the famous kasha of the Acharonim of why he waited until 99. Not for the pilpul that we said before in the Panami office, Issachol v'Atzma. Avraham Avinu was, the Pasha wasn't ready. That's the Yisod. Avraham Avinu wasn't ready for a bris. Now, exactly how the bris represents that unique personal relationship between Avraham Avinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's beyond our scope. But what we are capable of doing is taking a couple of lessons from this. And that is, number one, to realize that Avodas Hashem is a slow cooking process. It's not something that happens overnight. That every step in Avodas Hashem goes slowly. There's no skipping steps. We've said in the past, Al Pi Drush, that's the reason why the Mizbeach is made with a kevesh, is made with a ramp, and it's not with madregos. Person tries to leap, he's being Megala Hazarva. Try to jump steps. The way in which we go is slowly and methodically. So let me just put that in practical terms. First of all, Talmidim and Grus, they're learning for the first time. Sunday, Monday, they have a Bechina on Bishul v'Shabbos. They're learning Bishul. I think I've learned Bishul now 3, 4, 5 times. And I also took the Bechina. I don't think I did that well the first time. I don't think I did well the first time. Well, maybe okay. But we have to realize that to know Bishul v'Shabbos, if you spent Sach HaKol, I don't know, 2 months on it, to expect yourself to be Doresh from yourself, to know it cold, is not being fair to yourself. And I hope the yeshiva also doesn't expect it. Of course you should put all of your energies into it. Of course you should do everything you can to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. But there's sometimes a demand, it's also sometimes even more of a social demand than a personal demand that's being put around us, an expectation that we're going to know the stuff the first time. It's not shaykh, especially if the guys didn't do the sugis well, Kabbal Chomer. But even if you did do the sugis well, it's a process that takes real time, requires chazara. And the same thing applies not only in terms of when you learn material once, when you do Hilchos Nida for the first time, you do Hilchos Basa B'chalav, you learn Hilchos Taruvos. But the same thing also applies in general in terms of Yediyos. I remember that there was a Talmud who, if he didn't have mamish nervous breakdown, I think he came very close to a nervous breakdown, because he looked around and he decided that he had to have this same amount of yediyas as this particular Rosh Hashiva. I have a Talmud who thought that he was going to finish, very, very, very smart Talmud, this year thought that he was going to finish Maseches Bava Kamma in 5 months, and he's very smart, and he fell behind, and he hit a little bit of a low. He hit a mashber, he hit a bump. So many times, if we don't catch ourselves, and if it happens too many times that the Talmud hits the same bump, and he puts his she'ifos too high, then ultimately, it could break him. We have to be very, 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 very careful that our she'ifos are realistic for where we actually are. Don't think about the next year and 2 years. Dream about where you'll be when you're 40. Dream about where you'll be when you're 60 in terms of your Yedias HaTorah. But not to put such a lachatz right now, because in the end, it's often jumping madrigals. And then there's another mussar that emerges from this. The other mussar that emerges is in regards to how we look at mitzvahs. Avraham Avinu is keeping 612 mitzvahs, and now comes the 613th. Only now is he ready for the mitzvah of Bris. Why is he only ready now? Because it's a talich, it's a process. That process, what exactly is our goal in that process? And that's something I think that particularly in our yeshiva we don't spend enough time thinking about. I want to say a line in Chassidus that for me the first time I read it seemed extreme. Kal v'chomer, for those who have learned in a Litva yeshiva and are from a Litvisha background, for sure it's going to be extreme. Rabosa, I believe it's emes lamito, and now I've begun to understand it, and I hope, even if it sounds crazy to you now, eventually it will settle in. And I need also to put down the following forewarning, is that this quote can't be taken out of context, because if it's taken by the wrong people, then it could totally distort the halachic system. The Nesiv HaShalom in many places, based on Zohar, says that the Taryag Mitzvos are Taryag Etin. You know what an Aramaic Etin is? There's 613 suggestions. 613 Etzos of Iskarvos LaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the reason this is such a dangerous expression is you put it in the hands of the wrong people and they totally misuse it. But Rabosai, it's Emes. And those people who don't understand this Bechina, that don't understand that the Taryag Mitzvahs are also, aside from being 613 Sivuim, they're also 613 Eitzos of Iskarvus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are missing a critical component in Avodas Hashem. Critical, critical component in Avodas Hashem. To realize that when Avraham Avinu is going through this process of 3 to 40 and Nasiyas HaMitzvahs and Kol HaTorah Kula, there is a goal that's there. And that is, how are these mitzvahs bringing me closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And people don't ask themselves that question. There are a lot of very, very religious people that don't ask themselves that question. Have we truly thought, how is our Talmud Torah bringing us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Have we truly thought how our midos have bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We don't ask ourselves that question enough. And particularly in our yeshiva, there's a culture of learn, 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 and everything else solves itself. It's not true. There are people who learn, 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 and get divorced. There are people who learn, 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 and their insides is lacking in Niskarvus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think there's one other yisod that we could take in terms of our avoda in marriage that emerges as well from this mahalach of looking at Avraham Avinu's, if you will, evolution in his yachas with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A bris, as we've spoken about, as we alluded to last week, a covenant between two people, just like Kaviyachol, a covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is something that is based on the idea of Dveikus. We pointed out in Parshas Bereishis, we have Alkenya Zavishas Avivas Imovidovak Bishto. What exactly is the Hagdara of Dveikus? So last week we pointed out that Dveikus means a commitment to the other, which is not based on utilitarian cheshbonos. It's based on Dveikus because you simply want to be connected to the person. That's bris. Bris is a covenant that you're going to stand by that person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Avraham Avinu his covenant. Avraham Avinu is ready for that madrega, that he's going to stand by him. Es halech lefanai ve'yesami. I'm going to stand by. For to reach the madrega of bris in marriage, you should realize that's not going to happen overnight. Every once in a while we wake up, you know, someone who's married 6 months, 8 months, and he wakes up in the middle of the night, his wife is fast asleep, and he asks himself, yeah, okay, things are going pretty well, but is this relationship a relationship really of a risk? Is this something that's really, is this a bond that's really, really deep? And again, I think just like the Talmud who asks himself the first time after he learns Bishul v'Shabbos, and the fellow who demands himself to know Shas Kol when he's 30 years old, we have to realize that's a slow process. It's something that really, really takes time to develop. Now, of course, if one notices that there is a gap in one's marriage, there's a gap in terms of communication, there's something that's missing. Now the odds are, in my experience, in my little experience, 98% of all issues could be something that, with the proper guidance, could be overcome. If not more than 98%. However, so first of all, if there's something that's serious, that's on your mind, discuss it with somebody, for sure. But realize that the notion of bris is something that takes a while to develop. It's something that takes a lot of time. And I'll give you an example of that. Initially, in the initial stages of marriage, when we start off when we're dating, and even in the beginning of marriage, a lot of times the conversations are very, very meaningful. Two souls have touched each other. There's something that you share with each other, something that's very, very special. And something very, very interesting happens over time. We begin to have, those of us who have, Baruch Hashem, great marriages, begin to have less and less meaningful conversations with our spouses. Why? Very, very simply. Because, first of all, two reasons. Number one, the most meaningful conversations we've already had. We could almost communicate to each other with our eyes about them. That's number one. Number two is, when there's dveikus, when there's absolute commitment to each other, that means being committed to the other person's needs. And a lot of times the needs are very, very mundane. Kal v'chomer, when God willing children come along and so on, the needs become even more and more mundane. So something very, very paradoxical. Initially, the conversations are very, very deep and very, very meaningful. But as one goes into the process of bris, the process of dveikus, it could be that the conversations get more mundane. Now, it's a very important yisod, because every once in a while you'll ask yourself, wow, you know, what happened to those exciting moments? No, it could very well be that what's happening, those exciting moments of conversation. What's happening actually is that the marriage is reaching a new madrega, is reaching a madrega of bris. Now, of course, there needs to be time when you set aside special moments. Of course, there needs to be a time when you still share with each other what's really, really on your hearts. Of course, there are things that you're going to learn about with each other that you've never understood before, about each other, about yourself, and each one will help each other. But at the end of the day, paradoxically, a relationship that's really about dveikus and bris is something that develops over time to the point that actually the conversation become more mundane. And it's interesting, another corollary to this idea is a lot of times I'm not impressed when I speak with a fellow who's been going out with a girl 4 or 5 times, and he tells me the conversations are amazing. To me, that's not a very big ray of whether the marriage, that's a sign of a great marriage. Why? Because it's not the conversations. It's a question of whether there could really be v'davak b'yishto. That's the most important factor in building a bayis nedarim b'Yisrael, is v'davak b'yishto. And realize that that takes time. Just like Lahavdil, Avraham Avinu's dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu took 96 years, it's something that takes time and develops over time in the marriage. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmaya, that we should feel that there's kliyos, and that one day we should be zochet to have that sense that we're in a marriage that's a true bris, and also that our yachas with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that takes time, it's something that develops slowly, that from mimadrega to madrega, without skipping steps. I always tell my talmidim in yeshiva, I tell the talmidim who are 19, 20 years old, safek madrega is lakula. You have a safek whether you should move up a madrega in something. The rule of thumb is always lakula. It's always lakula. The assumption always is, stay where you are until you're sure you could go there. Stay where you are until you're sure. When you have that sense of sureness, then you make that leap. You're mesupak whether you're sure or you're not, so speak it over with the Rebbe. But until then, realize that the leaps usually themselves reflect an immaturity in Avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem is that slow process of the dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Time is good. I think that it's better recorded than not.